I'm gonna call our meeting to order on this June 17th, and we'll start with approving the minutes from the June 3rd meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any comments, questions, friendly amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, John.
The minutes are approved. Then moving on to today's loan portfolio. So there are nine loans, a little less than $3 million. I move to approve the loan portfolio. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Josh. Rich, you know the drill. Turning it over to you to walk us through what we are reviewing today.
Thank you, Sarah. You'll notice that we have six bread and butter loans for vehicles and roadwork today, and then three loans that are a little bit more unusual. One, loan number five to the city of Delavan, has a municipally owned golf course, and so they need to purchase some golf course equipment. And then the Village of Hancock in loans eight and nine, they are financing operations in loan number eight, as Tom pointed out in a conversation a little while ago. Operating loans are becoming more and more common for the Board of Commissioners of Public Loans in the last year or two, as more municipalities and school districts are needing to borrow for operations than in past years. And then loan number nine for the Village of Hancock, they're refinancing a line of credit that they got a short-term line of credit from a local bank, and they're just going to take that out a little bit longer. And that's all I have for today.
And Rich, did Hancock go into anything more about specifics and what they were looking at with financing operations?
No, I think what happened is that they had an unexpected expense, and they had a tax rate that was a little bit lower than they needed to cover their operations.
Thank you. Any questions from the commissioners about the nine loans we are reviewing today? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor of approving today's loan portfolio, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, John.
The loans are approved, and we have no new business and or no old business and no new business. So, Rich, I'm going to pass the microphone back to you for your Chief Investment Officer's report.
I have nothing for today, Sarah. Thank you.
Then moving on to Tom and the Executive Secretary's report.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, since we last met, Joint Finance Committee took executive action on the agency's budget. They passed a motion that included an appropriation of $170,000 from the Conservation Fund to fund certain school trust land expenses, an appropriation of $50,000 from the Conservation Fund for red pine replanting expenses, an appropriation of $100,000 from the Conservation Fund for financial asset management expenses. And then they, in that same motion, they reduced the GPR appropriation for the agency by a little over $96,000 for salary and fringe for the deputy position, deleted the statutory provision for the deputy position, and rejected BCPL's request for another accountant and all of our other smaller requests. So while the total package is a mixed bag, it has profound impacts on the agency that are disparate on the various funds. Obviously, with the additional money going for school trust land management expenses and red pine replanting, that's beneficial to the normal school fund. but it doesn't do a whole lot for the common school fund. The fact is, again, taking out the deputy position, not giving us an accountant position, makes it ever harder for us to do what we do here in terms of managing the trust assets for public education. The Joint Finance Committee considered moving PCPL back to a program revenue appropriation. You may recall that the governor's budget did not do that, kept it us on GPR. But several members of Joint Finance were supportive and expressed confidence that that they felt that not only they, but other members of the committee were supportive of a move and were more likely to approve additional budget requests for BCPL if we removed to program revenue funding. However, the work of the Legislative Council left members of JFC with too much uncertainty regarding such action. As it stands now, there is no case law on point on the matter of program revenue funding for the agency. It is therefore likely that BCPL will continue to be funded with GPR dollars. And unless there is a significant change in the legislature, it is also likely that BCPL will not have the resources necessary to accomplish its mission. Over 100 years ago, a couple of commissioners decided to, in essence, sue each other to bring the matter to the state Supreme Court to have some guidance on a number of various issues. And at this point in time, we may be reaching a point where it may make sense to bring such an action to obtain clear guidance on whether BCPL could, in fact, be funded with trust fund investment earnings. It should be reiterated that being able to move to funding the agency with program revenue does not guarantee that we'd get additional resources, but it would create a different dynamic between us and the legislature at this point. The other avenue that we must now consider is moving some of our work outside the agency. In essence, setting up a fund of funds in various asset classes. And this would create an additional layer of fees that would cost our beneficiaries in excess of $2 million per year. But we may be able to accomplish some of the work that we try to do in-house. This option needs additional study and discussions with our stakeholders. Any other questions regarding JFC's actions so far?
Tom, it's Josh. I have a go ahead, Sarah.
No, you can go, Josh.
I was just going to ask a quick question. Thank you about the practical impact. I understand they didn't fund the deputy position or the accountant position. I also know that we don't currently have somebody in the deputy role or the accountant role, but I assume there's some impact to the overall budget authority that creates issues. And so do you I realize you're considering options, but do you have an expected impact to how this impacts the operations of the agency right now?
It impacts the agency because of the fact that it absolutely destroys any opportunities for succession planning. I'm turning 67 next week, and after a couple health issues in the last couple years, I cannot continue doing this forever. And if you do not have a deputy, you do not have anybody who has that breadth of experience, at some point in time, I will be leaving and there is nobody to turn the keys over to that has some experience like that. So
And I guess into that point, Tom, what I just was trying to understand a little bit more was when you said we will not have enough money to fund the agency. So are we talking about like an actual gap in funding, or more to what you just kind of talked about in with Josh?
Because of the fact Tia used to joke that she said, "Tom, you're not an odd duck, you're a rare bird." I just happen to have a number of the weird skill sets that were needed here. And in order to be able to do what we do, I don't know how you can do that at that point in time. I don't have a CFA in finance, but I've worked enough in financial matters that I can at least ask intelligent questions half the time. I practiced real estate law for a number of years. I practiced trust administration law. I have a lot of these different pieces that I use every day in my position here. And when I leave, those are things that, even though I've left memos behind, it's not the same. Because when the questions arise, they're always a little bit different than the memo that's written. And so I firmly believe that everybody's replaceable. I'm just not sure how this works in this particular situation, because the agency has been stripped down to a point where it's barely functioning now. And I don't know how it works going forward. It's not the best way to describe it. Now, using the parlance of some of the other people out there, if a prison ended up with double the prisoners over a period of time, you'd probably hire more prison guards. If you had a school that had doubled the enrollment, you'd probably end up with a few more teachers. But when you look at what BCPL has done over this period of time, is that we have added more and more responsibilities. I mean, in my time here, we've gone from $650 million to $1.5 billion. We've expanded across all kinds of asset classes. The lands that we are managing may be the same number of acres, but before, most of it wasn't even managed. It was just swampland. And so when you look at all the things that we are doing that we weren't doing before, and yet the total staffing of the agency, in essence, has not moved and has actually been reduced now. And our total budget in real dollars, when you look at it being below 2017 levels and just slightly above where it was when I started here all those years ago, you can't keep doing this forever. At a certain point, you run out of paperclips and bubblegum, and that's where we are. I'm a person that always tries to make do with what I've been given, but I've reached a point, and I'm like, this is not workable anymore. You can't keep doing this, and yet the legislature does.
And Tom, how do you address the legislature's comments about the deputy position being empty for a few years?
It was empty because of the fact that we had no money to fill it. They stripped out all funding for it. The governor was able to veto the deletion of the position, but that doesn't give us the money to fill it. So I can't make money appear out of nowhere. The only thing that I actually thought about doing was actually going around to some nonprofit groups and begging for money. That, in essence, because we have a gifts and grants appropriation, that I might be able to do that. And yet, going around and asking for that carries its own risks. as public officials, we have to be very careful about how we go around asking for money on behalf of different organizations. So the options are very limited, is what it boils down to.
Hey, Tom, first of all, thank you for that background. And I guess it would be helpful to me to understand, I guess, two things, one of which I think I do and one of which I don't. I think the point you're making about succession planning and just lack of resources for the agency over the years compared to growth and responsibilities, at least for me, is well taken. And I understand the concerns. In terms of the sort of state that the budget leaves us in the immediate term, as compared to where we were prior to the budget, that's what I'm not as clear on. And I guess I'm wondering, are there, you know, immediate, I understand the long-term points you're making, which are totally valid, but in the immediate term, are there things that are going to need to happen, or the concerns more relating to the longer term points you're raising? I just want to make sure I understand what the, you know, what challenges we're confronting from your perspective.
The challenge that we're confronting, Josh, is the fact that my retirement is not long term anymore. It is going to be sooner than later. And so I think everybody just assumed that I would just keep doing what I'm doing. And the fact is, I can't. I'm getting tired. In order to keep doing what I do and keep all those relationships intact, requires a schedule that my body is now starting to grumble about. You know, making those drives to northern Wisconsin takes more out of me than it used to. And frankly, you know, when Ledge Council dropped that memo at the 11th hour, okay, working that whole weekend to put together a response to that, yeah, the 30-year-old me would be fine with that. This version of me gets worn out by doing that. And I'm sorry for being human, but this is no longer long-term planning. This is short-term planning, folks. So that's the best I can describe.
Point taken on the short term, long term. Are there, apart from that, are there, relating to the Sarah's questions about the finances, I guess I'm just trying to figure out if we've got a gap in addition to this that we need to be thinking about, because this is a significant issue, obviously. But is there also a gap, or on that piece, where are we? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
So what you're asking me is, Tom, are we in worse shape than we were before they took action? If the legislature just rolled forward on this year's budget, would we be better off? And the answer is no. No, there was no additional cuts. It's just that, like I said, what we've been doing is we've been scraping together paper clips and bubble gum for such a period of time that can't keep doing it.
That makes sense to me, although you mentioned the cut to the funding for the deputy position, and that sounded like a potentially meaningful cut, and I just wasn't sure about the impact of that. I know that the position wasn't filled, but...
So what happens when the position's not filled is that it becomes a standard budget adjustment to put it back into the budget. And so it was put back in as a standard budget adjustment, and then they stripped it out last week, so...
But it wasn't funded last cycle, but it was funded two cycles ago. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, so we've been dealing with that cut for a few years already.
Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. But it was cut in the 2022 budget cycle, Tom, is that correct?
I believe so. It's starting to run together on me here.
Yeah, I think it was the last cycle that it was officially the funding was cut, but the position was still put back in. So Tom, seeing that the deputy is kind of the most, of course, significant position, and knowing that there's negotiations that are going on with the governor's office and with the legislature, and, you know, there could be possibilities there. There aren't, I guess, any other kind of significant cuts that would significantly impact operations.
No, but the fact that we didn't get the additional funding for the
accountant.
For the accountant, and we got sort of a weird conservation fund funding for some stuff there. I don't know how this is going to wash out here. I mean, in a normal budget, if you look at the statute for the state budget, it's 20.005, if I remember correctly. The amount of guidance it gives on any particular appropriation is virtually nothing. It just says goods and services or whatever. This particular motion had all kinds of additional language on it that you can spend $20,000 on this and $30,000 on this. And I'm like, okay, does that become law, or is this just some kind of additional guidance? And when I started asking questions of the budget office, they just kind of threw their hands up and said, I don't know. So it's going to be a while before I get additional guidance on this. So I was also going to ask for a meeting in the gov's office to talk a little bit more about what this all means, and if there was any way that the gov could also make sure that this chip is on the table for any future discussions. So
got it. And from your perspective, what is more critical? Is it regaining the funding in a position back for the deputy, or moving from GPR funding to PR funding?
So short term, getting the deputy back. Long term, going to program revenue. But I'm serious about the piece about outsourcing as well, because of the fact that, you know, we're still at times struggling to manage what we do with the resources that we have. You know, the idea that we are managing a portfolio that big on a platform that was never designed to manage a portfolio like that. And so we are manually inputting data on all those private investment funds, but we don't input all the data because there's no place to even put it on that platform. And so anytime that we are creating reports, they're manual. At some point in time, we have to acknowledge how big we are and what we do. The only thing that is small about our agency is the staffing and our budget, not that the size of the funds we manage and the mission that we accomplish is huge. And we've been trying to short arm this for too long, what it boils down to.
Tom, do you have, I know you've talked about this, but is there like a document that we have that shows the size in terms of staff of BCPL as compared to the amount of money that's being managed as compared to either other similar funds or other, you know, what's out there in the world generally, that sort of shows how leanly staffed this agency is?
So I was never able to find a document that would compare apples to apples in terms of staffing. But generally what you would see out there is your cost of management. So Rich, feel free to to jump in here, but if I remember correctly, I thought SWIB's cost of management was somewhere in the 40 basis points. And I know at times I thought it had ticked up to around 45, then sometimes as low as 38, but I always kept 40 basis points in my head. Rich, does that sound about right?
Yes, it does, Tom.
So if you look at our budget all in, with our assets all in, we are at 10. That's insane. That includes forestry, land operations. So you're talking about funding it, you know, at a fraction of a fraction of what other entities would be funding it at.
John, I don't want to call you out specifically, but are there any thoughts or ideas you have?
I'd like to thank John, first of all, for accompanying me to most of the meetings with the joint finance members. I really appreciate it. I thought he was very helpful. So.
Well, I didn't get everything I wanted in the budget either. So there's a lot of that going around. But yeah, I mean, for some reason, what's that? Two budgets in a row, they seem to really like forestry stuff. So maybe if we just call the deputy forester, they'll give it to us. I'm not quite sure how that. But seriously, it just felt like looking at the results, they're not really willing to make any big changes this session. And I mean, it was. I don't think they disagreed with any of our arguments. It just was kind of a flat, we're not doing any big changes this year at all. No new positions, just kind of do the bare minimum. So at least we did get something. Not the highest priority. And it seemed like we had support in some of these meetings too. So I was a little disappointed with not getting the putting on program revenue part, but I mean, I'm going to keep mentioning it to legislators. So, I mean, it's just kind of an ongoing process. Hopefully things are different in the next budget cycle, but I mean, that's kind of where we're at. It took me a while to actually get some answers too. So it just kind of feels like we can try some of those, you know, other methods or other bills outside of the budget, but there didn't seem to be a lot of wiggle room for adding anything in the budget this time.
So, Tom, maybe I know we're talking tomorrow and we can just maybe explore some creative options as we, you know, we're not. There is a possibility we could meet before the budget passes. There's a possibility that we do not. I mean, you know, they have said they want to get it done by the end of June, and our next meeting is on the 1st of July. So we could be on the cusp, but I think knowing that we can also call a special meeting when we need to, and I think it's fair to say that any of the commissioners on the call would, you know, want to be helpful as we are navigating this.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add is, you know, I don't know if anybody on the call has more insight than I do, but my impression is that it's sort of anybody's guess what's going to happen in the state Senate in terms of getting a budget passed. And it might be that there is more opportunity for change post Joint Finance Committee in this budget cycle than there has been in prior cycles. And so, you know, I think truly nobody knows the answer to that. But that would be the one place it would seem like there might be continued opportunity to change what ultimately shows up in the budget. But, you know, it's hard to know. So,
I would, so My back of the envelope takeaway from my meetings with legislators, I thought that the Senate would be more agreeable. The Assembly co-chair just made it clear that he said, we're just not interested in growing government at all, period, full stop. So thank you for that insight. I will make some more efforts along those lines.
Well, we appreciate the update, Tom, and all the work. So are there any other questions for Tom? Tom, is there anything else we're missing from your report?
One small piece. A while ago, the board approved this sale of Lunder. About 300 acres of land up north. We put it up for auction. Nobody bid. And one of the neighbors finally came back the other day and said, all right, I'll buy it. So in situations like that, where we put it up for bid at a minimum price and we leave it up on our website, someone can come in and say, I agreed to buy it at that posted price. And so we expect that we will be closing on that sale sometime in the next 60 days. It's just shy of $400,000. But upon closing that, we will have somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.2 million in our land bank account, which is now a reasonable amount to go shopping for a block of timberland up north. So we'll see.
Well, I appreciate you ending on a positive note, Tom. So we will.
I try. Sorry we'll for take such, it. Sorry to be such a downer here. After pouring so much effort into this year, I was disappointed. So.
I think we all three as commissioners understand. So for sure. All right. Well, I think, Tom, as we've said, just continue to keep us posted along the way, and we can, all of us as we are leaving this call, can continue to think about ways that we can maybe be supportive of our other creative options too.
Thanks.
And I'm gonna keep it brief, and I have nothing to report today. Moving to future agenda items, I think it's fair to say, Tom, that regardless, a budget update on where things land or where things are would be great for our next board meeting. Is there anything else people would like to see for our next agenda or a future agenda? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn our meeting today?
I shall move.
I'll second.
All those in favor of adjourning our meeting today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
Our meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and have a good week. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
See you, Tom.